So I don't know if any of you have caught this particular TV show that is out right now, but it's a TV show called Alone. And this television show, what it does is that it documents the struggle of people who, it's a competition show, and so they go off and they have to exist by themselves, given very little survival equipment, but they have to go and live off by themselves. There's not even a film crew that is there filming them. They have to film themselves and then turn it in. So there's no human interaction. It's just you versus nature. The only way they get out is if they tap out, or if there's a medical emergency, and the contestant who lasts the longest wins a prize. And as I was reading about the TV show, that there was one season where there was a grand prize of $1 million, right? So if you could be alone the longest, you could win $1 million. So now, just out of curiosity here, who here would be up for a challenge like that, to be alone for an extended period of time? Not a lot of you. Yeah, I mean, first service, there's like one or two people who raised their hands. It's not a lot of takers with that. We're used to noise. We get caught up in the noise of life, and we are always surrounded by it. You know, our jobs, our family situations, our obligations, health issues, simple day-to-day demands, right, is a constant calling out to us about things we're to do, things we're to remember. It's noise. And I think it plays out, right? We don't do alone well. None of us really do alone well. And to make it even worse, right, in 2022, all of us are connected to this thing, right? We are never alone. We can be contacted 24 hours a day. Cell phone, text message, email. You know, we just don't do it well. You know, think about it. Like when we're kids, we're always clamoring for a friend to play with. And we get older, and we look for that someone to be with. Being still, being silent, is not something that really excites us. And our fear of being alone, I think it can drive us to crowds and to noise, just to kind of keep up that steady stream of words in our lives. We buy little radios to carry with us, and we put things in our ears so that we can hear them. So even if we're surrounded by people, we can still have noise in our minds, lest we are condemned to silence. We have to hear things. You know, a couple of years ago, Curtin and I, we led a set of silent retreats in Western Pennsylvania. And so we were inviting people to come away for an extended period of silence. These silent retreats ran from Sunday afternoon through Tuesday afternoon. And so the participants were told, you know, come and experience silence. You know, it's an interesting ask of people. It's like, hey, why don't you come to this retreat? What are we going to do? Nothing. How long are we going to do it? The whole time. What are we going to talk about? Nothing. You know, it's quiet. If you've ever sat around a dinner table, so these silent retreats, you know, the meals were in silence. And that's awkward. It's hard. We are so used to and accustomed to noises and talk. And even if it doesn't mean anything, we are just used to it. You know, some friends of mine who I was working with at the time, you know, we were talking about these silent retreats. I mean, they thought it was crazy. Like, why would you go and do something like that? And then a really good friend of mine confessed. He said, you know, I couldn't do it. I'd be afraid of what I would hear. I'd be afraid God would talk to me in the midst of all that silence. And that's part of it, right? Part of the reason why we fill ourselves up with all of this noise so that we don't have to hear from God. Because if we hear from God, then we are confronted with ooh, that's big. Because if we hear from God, do we listen to God? Or do we do what we want to do? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a martyr from World War II, he wrote this. He said, "We are so afraid of the silence that we chase ourselves from one event to the next in order to not to have to spend a moment alone with ourselves, in order that we would not have to look at ourselves in the mirror." Yeah, there's great value in seeking silence and solitude in our lives, right? In this fast-paced world, it's not uncommon for most of us to miss it and to miss out on those opportunities. And Jesus himself would use these opportunities, would use the opportunity to slip away and experience silence and solitude during his life and ministry. He wasn't going away to be away from people, but he used silence and solitude as a means of getting closer to God and to be more effective in dealing with the crowds. Jesus knew that he needed to maintain a close relationship with God, and that if he wanted to be effective in his ministry, he needed that close relationship with the Father. He wanted to hear the Father's whisper, the still small voice to speak to him. And so Jesus sought silence and solitude so he could hear God's voice clear. In Mark chapter 6, it reads, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all of what they had done and taught." And the disciples in John or Mark 6, they came to Jesus and said, and they wanted to make sure that Jesus knew what they had been doing, right? "Jesus, look at how effective I have been for you." In my other job at the conference center, we're in that season right now where, you know, I'm going to have to next month have an evaluation with my boss. I have to fill out a self-evaluation form and rate myself on how I have been, you know, what kind of a good employee have I been over the past 12 months. You know, I don't like doing it. You know, it feels like I have to defend myself or to self-promote myself in order to stay in my position. And it's not my boss's fault. Alice is a wonderful person. She just is simply doing what has been told to her. And that's almost what I get from Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It's this self-evaluation. The disciples are trying to validate themselves in front of Jesus with all of their doing. "Jesus, I talked to 10 people this week. Jesus, I drove out 5 demons in your name. Jesus, I did more than Peter did." But you know, Jesus hadn't asked for this report. This wasn't a self-evaluation at some point or some place of business. And so Jesus then invites them, and he says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. You know, come with me. Come by yourself. Come to a quiet place. Come and get some rest. The validation that the disciples needed was not a positive work evaluation. What the disciples needed was to be with Jesus. They needed the presence of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, to silence all those other voices in their heads. Are you good enough? Have you done enough? Are you worthy enough? Right? That voice that says, "What are you doing?" So Jesus, come with me. Come to the quiet place. Later on in chapter 6, after Jesus invites the disciples to come to that quiet place with him, we find Jesus then telling the disciples, all right, now I need you to go on ahead of me, go across the sea. And basically Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to spend some quiet time alone with the Father now. And so go on ahead, I'll catch up. So the disciples then, they cross the sea and they find themselves now being surrounded by a storm. And they're struggling at the oars. You know, hearing that the noise of the storm, just a whoosh, all the sounds and the water and the oars creaking. Right, all they could hear now was the roar of what was going on around them. And so this is what happens next, then, later on in Mark 6. Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And so shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. And he was about to pass them by when they saw him walking on the lake, and they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him, and they were all terrified. So immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. Right, so not only does Jesus practice silence and solitude, not only does Jesus want us to come away with him to this quiet place so that we can still those voices of, you know, are we good enough? Are we worthy enough? Have we done enough in our heads? Jesus is also able to provide a place of silence in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the storms of life. He can give us calm in the midst of chaos. Because if you're not currently in a storm, you will be one day. Right? All of us are going to go through storms of life, and we're going to hear voices and sounds and terror. And Jesus is the one who can provide peace in the midst of all of those types of pressures. You know, what does God tell us to do when stress and pressure seems to push us past our breaking point? Right in the midst of it all, God says, be still. I mean, we are surrounded by noise. You know, my mom often complains about my dad. I'm good we're not on tape right now. But my mom often, you know, she'll complain about my dad that, you know, he walks in the house and the first thing he does is turn on the television set. And my dad, like me, you know, is a little hard of hearing, so the television set is usually loud. And, you know, mom likes, you know, she's like, he's not even watching it. He's asleep. But the TV has to be on. But we'll do that. We'll walk in the house, turn on the television set, because we cannot be alone. We need the noise. We long for the noise. You know, I've heard that there's a three-word summary of our lives today: hurrying, worrying, and scurrying. But to this, God says, be still. That God can be your refuge, he can be your strength, but only if you will stop long enough to listen. Now, hear me, there's nothing wrong with talking. Right? There's nothing wrong with listening to a podcast or watching television. It's all wonderful gifts that the Father gives to us. But what would it mean, what would happen if we choose to set these gifts aside and soak in the Father's presence? You know, actually, when I was writing this particular sermon, I decided I'm going to make a cup of tea. I didn't know at the time that it was going to come into the sermon, but I did. And I'm like, kind of chilly. I'll take a cup of tea. I boiled the water, got the cup out. Water boiled. I poured it into the glass and put the tea bag in. Just plain old water. But slowly, as the tea bag was in the water, it began to change color. And the longer I let this tea steep, the stronger the tea became. You know, what would happen if we allowed the same thing to happen in our lives? Right? Rather than steeping in the culture of our world, we chose to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. If we chose to spend more time steeping in the presence of God and not feeling like we've got to dictate the conversation, but that we could allow God to speak. You know, some practical ways, you know, for us to do that is, you know, how about setting an alarm for 5 minutes? You know, after you read the Bible, you know, set it aside. After you read the Bible, we can always pray. That's always a good thing. But then set an alarm for 5 minutes and just be still. Don't read. Just let your mind go blank as best you can. It's going to wander. Just bring it right back. And listen for what God might have to say to you. Invite God to speak to you. Now, this is a discipline that causes you, forces you to slow down and focus on listening. Now, secondly, you know, don't turn on the radio. Don't touch the dial. You get into the car, you know, I mean, first thing you do is usually put on the seatbelt, and second thing you do is turn on the radio. Well, rather than turning on the radio, just be. Pray, talk with God, be silent. You know, the time perhaps I was the furthest away from God was during a season when, you know, I had a motorcycle, and I'm not equating the two. Motorcycles don't mean getting far from God. But I didn't have a radio because I was riding a motorcycle. And it was as I was angry with God and not really talking to God, what was coming in my mind as I would ride my motorcycle were hymns. You know, I would find myself humming along with Blessed Assurance, as one I remember very vividly. And I'd catch myself and be like, stop that. I don't want to sing this. You know, I'm not talking to God right now. But in the silence, God speaks. You know, and it was God just wooing me back with these, you know, the beautiful hymns that I grew up with. It was like Jesus was saying, come away with me to a quiet place where you can get some rest. And so give yourself that gift of being silent. You could say the same thing when you're exercising, you know, to stay unplugged. It's, you know, it's now we've got, used to have the big headphones, and now we got the big headphones again, but now we've got things you can put in your ear. And you know, I'm an avid podcast listener. I'm usually always listening to something, but I recognize that when I am active, when I'm doing something, my mind will shut off and I will stop thinking about the things I want to do. And there's so many good things that God will say. You know, some of my most creative moments are when I'm mowing the lawn. And I'm walking back and forth. It doesn't take a great big, you know, great deal of skill to do that. And so my mind can just stop. I'm stopping to think about, you know, pressures of work, pressures of family, pressures of this and that. And God will bring ideas to my mind that have been incredible. And it's, I could try and try and try. I would never figure those things out. But when I stop trying and just spent time in quiet, things happen. And lastly, you know, when we read scripture, put yourself in the scene. You imagine yourself as one of those disciples in the boat. Imagine yourself, you know, the smell of the water, the rush of the wind, and feeling like you're about to go under. You know, experiencing that truly terrifying moment. And the feelings that that brings. How do you feel when Jesus simply says to the storm, calm, be still, and it does? Now, pay attention to what you read and how you feel when you read it. You know, our rest, our hope is in Jesus. Our healing is in Jesus. You know, have you heard the invitation? Have you heard Jesus say, come away with me. Visit with me. Sit with me for a spell. Meet me in solitude so that we can be together. You know, seek God today. Seek some time to be alone with him. He would like that. And I think you will as well. Let us pray. Lord, help us as we talk about these holy habits, Lord, these historical disciplines. That they seem sometimes so foreign to the way that we live today. And we get ahead by doing. We get ahead by working hard. We get ahead by the sweat of our brow. That our worth is based all in what we can do. Jesus, help us to hear your quiet voice. Help us to hear that you are interested in us. Not for what we do, but because of who we are. Help us to respond. Help us to listen. Jesus, may we hear your voice clearer. It's in your name, O Savior, that we pray. Amen.